Civil War rarely plays much of a role in popular histories of California. After all, it took place thousands of miles away, and California was never as divided on slavery as were other states. Or perhaps not. Our state did have a role in the conflict, and it is explored in a new novel co-written by Richard Hurley and T.J. Meekins. Their book, Queen of the Northern Mines, takes a fictionalized look at the role of California gold in the conflict. They are also the creators of a multimedia history show that tells the story of how the war affected our young state's growth, and that show opens Saturday at the Folsom History Museum and will run until May 13th. Welcome to Insight.
Good morning, David.
Nice to be here.
What was California's role in the Civil War?
Pivotal, and people don't understand that. We didn't, certainly. It came as a surprise to us to learn that we almost started it. When California came in 1850 as a free state, the Southerners were feeling pretty defensive, a little worried about the future of their peculiar institution, and they looked west and they saw California coming in, and they felt like their whole system was being blocked and surrounded. And John C. Calhoun, in his dying weeks, was helped onto the Senate floor, and someone else read his speech where he said, if California comes in as a free state, we're leaving, and if you try to stop us, we're going to be trading lead.
Because the South would have felt, the Confederacy would have felt that they were being outnumbered and outflanked by the free states?
Exactly. There was a standing agreement that had kept a very fragile country together, and that was that slavery could have pretty much free reign across the South, and the free soil sentiments prevailed everywhere north of that division. And there's California going all the way down to Mexico and free from north to south, but free in quotes. I don't want to imply that California was a community that was greatly concerned about black rights.
I was going to ask you, what was the division? Because there were states like Missouri where there was quite a battle going on even before they became states, right, or how they would come into the Union.
Yes.
California actually had the possibility of that kind of ugly partisan warfare happening here because of how the population was so divided in their allegiances. They brought these political differences with them to California.
And what were the divisions in California at that point? Because after all, there weren't a lot of people in, particularly there weren't a lot of American citizens in California. What was the division in California between free and slave state?
Pretty much thirds, I would say, between Breckinridge Democrats, which was a pro-slavery faction, and the Douglas Democrats, the Free Soil. And the new Republican Party gained a foothold in California just in the very last years of the 1850s, just before the Civil War breaks out.
And so what prompted you? The presentation that you do that's a historically based presentation, and then you also have this book, The Queen of the Northern Mines. What prompted writing a novel about this particular situation?
We've always wanted to write fiction, and sometimes fiction can tell the story more quickly, more economically, and maybe more powerfully than actual history can.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes history gets bogged down in details, dates, and
too
facts.
Too many dates and facts. Right. Whereas, when you become emotionally connected to the characters, you begin to live out in a direct way the kinds of terrific divisions and the anger and the confusion that marked that time. And I don't want to characterize our book as strictly a study, of the North and South division, because California was a cultural kaleidoscope. We had the squabbling Northerners and Southerners, but they were a minority. We also had 25,000 Chinese 3 years after the gold rush started. We had all the people stampeding out of Europe. Everybody who was a little bit left of center who had gotten involved in the Revolution of 1848 found it very good for their health to come to California. So we had German radicals and Frenchmen, and of course we had Sonorans, Chileans. We had Kanakas or Hawaiians who were brought in.
And the indigenous people.
We had them, but they were being trampled.
Very quickly wiped out.
Oh, it was horrific.
I'm speaking with Richard Hurley and T.J. Meekins about their book, Queen of the Northern Mines, and about the role of California in the Civil War. Where does the title Queen of the Northern Mines come from?
That's the old nickname for Nevada City.
Right. It's our town.
It's our town, and it was a very important hub in the about the time of the Civil War.
Yeah,
it was the county seat. It attracted a high order of lawyers and judges because of the mining law disputes that would go on there.
Yeah.
And it was a town with pretensions to literacy and culture always from its birth.
Right. We had Mark Twain visit in the 60s a couple of times, and singers would come up from San Francisco. Shakespeare
These
was a sellout.
1860s singers, not 1960s singers.
Right.
Well, we're getting a few 1960s singers, too. Yeah. It's more of a tourist scene now, though.
Yeah. There was in the book you mentioned that Nevada, the name Nevada, was actually not the name of what we now think of the state of Nevada. What's the background of that story?
Well, it was the greatest claim jump in the history of the gold rush. We started the name, and don't let anybody tell you different. And William Morris Stewart, we Californians, okay. We citizens of Nevada, the county of Nevada, with the town of Nevada, now Nevada City. We had a gentleman go over to what was then Washoe and help them out with naming their state, and he couldn't think of a better name than ours.
And so it stopped being Washoe territory and became the state of Nevada?
Yes. And so we all had to put Nevada City on our envelopes, you know, to make sure that the mail got to where it was supposed
and
to go.
And everybody's still disgruntled about it.
Yeah.
Going back to the title of the book, though, Queen of the Northern Mines, that's Nevada City.
Right.
Yes.
But why did you name it after Nevada? Is that because that's where you're from or you're based, or is that was really the center of a lot of this conflict about the Civil War?
Good question. I think the answer is both. You know, write what you know. That community actually physically even hasn't changed that much. And as we studied the history more and more, it seemed like some of the same sort of silly politics were prevalent in the town.
Well, Nevada City to this day remains a somewhat split community, doesn't it?
Yes, although in our story we make quite a bit about the division between Grass Valley and Nevada City, which remains to this day. Mm-hmm. But in the 1860s, Grass Valley was largely secessionist. And in fact, there's a great episode in which the citizens of Nevada City convinced themselves that the Grass Valleyans were about to attack. And they barricaded themselves in the courthouse. And, you know, drinks were brought up from the local bars to fortify the troops. And the sheriff finally quit in disgust because no one would recognize his orders. You know, and at that point, everybody began to drift home, figuring that they would live to fight another day.
And did the division between the, say, Confederates or secessionists, as you say, was that geographical? You said we were talking about two different small towns that were in conflict about that. But was it more mixed in through the population, the differences of opinion, or were there areas that were, you know, more pro-slavery and more...
Actually, Nevada County and San Francisco Peninsula were the only places in California that went Republican in the 1860 election and voted for Lincoln. The rest of the state was pretty much divided between Free Soil Democrats and Breckinridge Democrats. And Breckinridge won vast areas in the southern counties and the southern mines. The Colusa County was just about all... pro-slavery Southern sympathizers. Mm-hmm. So was Contra Costa County. There were a lot of secessionist newspapers up and down the state, very vocal and very influential.
And what about Sacramento?
I really don't
know. Divided until the Broderick assassination, Broderick duel.
Right.
And that really focused a lot of public opinion.
Yes.
Broderick was popular in Sacramento and very influential in Sacramento and San Francisco both, and those were the big hubs of population at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when that duel went down, a lot of things shifted.
For those who don't know, David Broderick was our U.S. Senator, and David Terry was the Chief Justice of the California Supreme Court. And they had a difference of opinion about how the Democratic Party should be conducting itself in California, which they settled on the field of honor. So we have a unique claim, I think, to have being started the shooting in some ways in the Civil War.
It must be fun too. I mean, there is quite a bit of gunslinging and things like that. I mean, you really get a sense in the book of what a frontier place this was, even with these sort of sophisticated conversations going on. It got pretty rough and tumble.
Everyone went armed.
Yes.
The men all went armed. The women went armed, too. The men typically wore pistols and bowie knives in their belts. And Starr King, the orator, who traveled up and down the state, said he'd never really known the joys of oratory until he had faced a California audience where the whole front row had pistols and bowie knives in their belts.
Well, not so conducive to free speech, perhaps.
Well, particularly when you weigh 120 pounds. Starr King was a little tiny guy who could barely see over the podium. But he was an electrifying speaker, and he was funny. You know, he was a universalist minister in that life. Today he'd be writing for David Letterman. He's just a wonderful voice for the Union. He could win over Southerners with humor.
Well, congratulations on the book. And I've been speaking with Richard Hurley and T.J. Meekins about their book, The Queen of the Northern Mines. And also, you're going to be starting on this Saturday, I guess, you're starting this speaking. What is the multipurpose historical
we
thing
made,
you're doing?
We made a multimedia show to promote our book.
Yes.
And yeah. we gave a 40-minute talk with wonderful visuals about what we've been talking about today. We traced California from a sleepy Mexican colony in 1845 right up to the time that the Civil War emerges, and then talk about the California Volunteers after that.
All
so
right.
It's a quick romp through history. And we've got a show at the Folsom History Museum opening Saturday with graphics based on this story. And then a lot of the local folks have brought in their collections. We've got some wonderful firearms. It's the beginning of repeating arms, and we've got some wonderful pivotal guns in that show, if you're interested in that sort of thing.
And we will have a link to information about that show on our website, capitalradio.org/insight. Richard Hurley, T.J. Meekins, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Fun.
You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. Coming up, Brooklyn's The Loom.